रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय हरि बोल हरि बोल बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल बोल हरि बोल जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 About Srimad Bhagavad Gita, we have to be very clear in our mind. This is the ocean of knowledge, and even one shloka, as we discussed, is the perfection of human existence. Because this is spoken by the Lord Himself, it's non-different from the Lord. We and our speech are different. But Lord and His speaking is non-different, because it is very nicely described in Ishopanishad. In the invocation mantra, Vyasa Bhagavan very clearly defines how the Lord is. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamivavashishare. He says, Om, Om, all our mantras, all our Vedic mantras and shlokas, they begin from Om. And in the shlokas also, there are so many Oms inbuilt. When we think about Om, we should know that it is Nada Brahma, the sound representation. And the sound representation is non-different from the Lord, because He is completely perfect. Om Purnam. Purnam is complete. Purnamida, Purnamidam. This is complete and that is also complete. Everything is completely perfect. And Purnasya Purnamadaya, from complete whole, so many complete units come out. For example, our Earth planet is one complete unit. Here for our life, we want water, we want air, we want food, everything is available here. We don't have to go to the moon to fetch water. This is complete. This unit is complete in itself. And even then, there are so many complete units coming out of the complete whole. And even then the balance is complete. In spiritual realm, 1 plus 1 is also 1. And 1 minus 1 is also 1. There are how many complete units are coming? Millions and billions of planets are moving around, and even then the balance is complete. This is the nature of Krishna. And because He is completely perfect, Himself and His sound or His speech is completely non-different. As it is, we are not able to associate with Krishna. As it is, with our imperfect senses, we cannot see Him, but we very well can experience Him. If you want to have the association of Krishna, then this is the way to associate with Him. You just try to chant few verses from Bhagavad Gita and you are directly associating with Krishna. In India even now, there are families, millions and millions of families, who chant daily at least 2 chapters from Bhagavad Gita. 12th chapter is Bhakti Yoga and 15th is Krishna Himself. 12th chapter gives you a nice idea what Krishna says about Bhakti Yoga Himself. And then Krishna Himself describes Himself in 15th chapter. So these 2 chapters are very important. No doubt all 700 verses are very important. And this is how, once we understand that this is the association of Krishna, then lovingly we come to Him. I know that in America the life is very busy. We have to pay so many bills, we have to maintain ourselves, we have to work very hard. But even then, Krishna has given you the opportunity to come to the wealthy country. Somehow or the other, we are much more far better than the people in India, economically. And why He has given us this facility is worth pondering over. Otherwise He could have left us in India getting rotten. You know, in Bombay, just to earn bread, they don't know butter. Just bread. And He has to leave the house at 6 o'clock in the morning and comes back about 8 o'clock at 10 o'clock at night. Just just for bare survival. It's our experience. You might have visited, you might be from Bombay or somewhere else, but this is the position in India. And even then, the population as a whole is very religious minded. It doesn't matter what so-called religion they follow. Even the Mohammedans are religious. Even the Christians are religious. We many times tell the Christians that if you want to know how the Christianity is followed, you should go to Indian churches. It doesn't matter what religion they follow, but the basic religiosity is there. And this basic religiosity, if you forget in America, then not only that we are destroying ourselves, but this younger generation, we are killing them. They don't know nothing about India. And they don't have any religiosity in them, being born in America and brought up in America. It's the duty of the parents to give them this eternal knowledge. Otherwise, we are failing. We are failing in our duty if we don't do it. One side, we are completely destructing our religious side of our existence, which is much more important than the material bodily existence. And then apart from this, our own spiritual suicide, we are completely killing our younger generation. And if we don't wake up in time, the time is running very fast, and maybe now second generation is quite young now in America also, and the third generation is also peeping out. So we have to wake up timely. In Bhagavatam, it is very nicely said. Understand that verse, you know. It's worth remembering. Guru na sasyat, sujano na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat, daivam na tasyat, patishya na sasyat, na mochayatiha samupetam rityam. He says, na mochayatiha samupetam rityam. Na means not. Mojayet means delivered. Samupetam rityam means from the vicious circle of birth and death. Those who are not able to save their own dependents from this vicious circle of birth, death, disease and old age and sickness, they should not be guru, guru nasasyat, svajano nasasyat, they should not be relatives. Then pita nasasyat, they should not be father. Then janani nasasyat, they should not be mother also. Not only that, but they should not be pati also, the husband also. This is how once we realize that these things have got to be done, otherwise we don't have to be right to be anybody's father, anybody's mother, or anybody's husband. Then we come to the right understanding. And this is how it is very clear in the scriptures that as we have got these relationships, it becomes our duty to get, first we should deliver ourselves from the vicious circle of birth and death, and then only we will be able to help the younger generation or our dependents to get relieved from the janma mrityu jara vyadhi. This is the main instruction of the scriptures, and unless we come to this point, the whole existence, human existence, becomes completely useless. Mogam partha sajivati. In the pages of Bhagavad Gita, it is very nicely described that evam pravartitam chakram na anuvartayati ya ya aga ayu indriya namo mogam partha sajivati. Evam pravartitam chakram. This is the path chalked out by our saints, sages, gurus, shastras, etc. And na anuvartayati. Those who don't follow this. Na anuvartayati iha. In this life. What happens to those people? Aga ayu. Ayu means their life. Aga means grievous sins. Their life is full of sins. Today we are here, assembled ourselves in the temple. But soon, if you don't do these things, then your life will be sinful. If you didn't come here, you might be watching TV, or you might be wasting your time, or maybe visiting pubs or this. Because we are not attracted this side, our life becomes full of sins. And then, indriya ramo, you run after the sense gratificatory activities. And then the result is mogam partha sajivati. You completely uselessly waste your life. This is the main thing to be understood from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. With this, we will go to one verse from Bhagavad Gita. Please repeat after me. is 5:20, 5th chapter and verse number 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Na Prahrushet Priyam Papya. Na Udvijet Prapya Cha Priyam Sthirabuddhi Asammudau Brahmaved Brahmani Sitaha. Na Prahrushet Priyam Prapya. Na Prahrushet Priyam Prapya. Chet Priyam Prapya. Na Udvijet Prapya Cha Priyam. Vijet Prapya Cha Sthirabuddhir Sammudo Brahma Vitramani Sita. Na. Please repeat. A person who neither rejoices upon achieving something pleasant, nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, who is unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is already situated in transcendence. The symptoms of the self-realized persons are given here in, I'm sorry, this is purport, you should hear. The symptoms of the self-realized person are given herein. The first symptom is that he is not illusioned by the false identification of the body with his true self. He knows perfectly well that he is not this body, but is a fragmental portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is therefore not joyful in achieving something, nor does he lament in losing anything which is realized, which is related to his body. This steadiness of mind is called sthira buddhi or self-intelligence. He is therefore never bewildered by mistaking the gross body for the soul, nor does he accept the body as permanent and disregard the existence of the soul. This knowledge elevates him to the station of knowing the complete science of the Absolute Truth, namely Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagwan. He thus knows the constitutional position perfectly well, without falsely trying to become one with the Supreme in all respects. This is called Brahman realization or self-realization. Such steady consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. Om Adhyana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nicely pointed out in the purport by Srila Prabhupada that the identification of body stops us from performing the devotional service with loving heart. Now we had so many, 2-3 families here. It was difficult for us to take mantra out of their mouth. This is identification of our body. We are very lucky that at least we are out of that conditioning, that we can lovingly raise our hands or chant Mahamantra very loudly. This is also some achievement in our existence, you know. This identification really creates so many problems in our life. And these problems are continuously same. If you think your whole life, then in the childhood, child, here, here, hey, how are you? Eh? No, it's nice to see. How long are you here?
Just
Then I was pointing out that we have our modes of material nature. And we have our one basic mode. Either we are in mode of ignorance, passion or goodness. And since childhood, we face the same difficulties. Throughout our life we face the same difficulties. The nature of the problems may differ, but the kind of the problem are same. You know, if you inspect your own life, then you will always experience the same difficulties. And this is because of the identification of the material body. As soon as you cross over this limit of bodily identification, then you are out of the modes of material nature. And then the difficulties may appear before you, but they don't have any stinging effect on our life. That is the main thing we have to understand here. And one thing we fail to understand even now and realize, that our mind many times, because of the identification of the body, it is doubtful that how by seeing the Lord we can progress, or how by remembering Him we can progress. It goes very difficult. But how by touching any paraphernalia of the Lord or the Lord's lotus feet, or this, how can we progress? This is a grave doubt in our mind. And because of these doubts, we may come here to the temple sometime, or we may stay even in the temple, but because of these doubts, we are unknowingly and helplessly dragged out to the material rut back. Instead of taking this process with us and following the process very seriously, we are prone to be victimized both by so many unknown attractions in the material world. They may appear to be a religious attraction, but they are not religious attraction. They are a snare of Maya, because Maya always covers herself in a religiosity also. And it so happened one day, once we had been to Australia, and there was a devotee there. He had four children, you know, by first marriage. And then again he wanted to marry, he wanted to separate that wife and again. This lunacy is going on, it is very rampant in our moment. We are sorry to tell you. But somehow, when the family was large, he wanted to earn money. So his mind suggested him, see, through the religiosity, you know, he said, the mind suggested him that people do these drugs around, you know, drugs. If you can have two rounds, you'll have plenty of money and then you can maintain your family and continue as a pujari. So he thought that only two rounds I'll do and I stop. Then he went to India and bought some drugs from Nepal somewhere. Then went to Germany and here and there and sold. So in two rounds he could get good amount. So then mind was again very tricky to explain it to him. So mind suggested him that again two, three rounds and we will have plenty of money. So we buy then a steamer and we will have a floating temple and we will destroy it for Prabhupada's books. So this was the trick of the mind. Yeah? Then mind knew that what argument will be all right for him. So the fellow thought, yes, I will have a floating temple. I'll be the president of the temple and thousands and millions of books we can sell around the world. So he said, two, three rounds more. And then he started again going and coming back, going and coming. Once he saw happened that he was in India, and you know, money, easy come, easy go. So money was spent nearly, very little amount was left. So he wanted to have a cheap ticket. So he got a cheap ticket of Aeroflot, Russian airline. And then they had to change the planes in Moscow. So he thought, hey, what's wrong? My mridanga and harmonium is full of drugs, nobody will know him. So he went to Moscow, and to his surprise, he had to pass through the customs. And he was caught there and arrested and punished for 6 years imprisonment, labor, in hard labor. That time he was sent to Siberia, some corner. And he was there in trouble. It's a big story. But the point is, the mind will always give you some material instruction in the guise of religious instruction. And this is how we may be in illusion that I am following a religious path and you are not following the religious path at all. Well, as soon as you leave the cover of Srila Prabhupada, you are completely open to all these troubles. But it is only Srila Prabhupada who gives us a very simple and direct instruction regarding our religious organized life. As soon as you leave his books, as soon as you leave his instructions, or we may leave the institution also, and if you don't follow him very seriously outside, then you are victimized by so many unknown forces. And this is the grave danger we are facing now. Our ISKCON movement is so very large. And now if you don't stick to the explanations given by Srila Prabhupada and the instructions very clearly given for our good, then we are completely lost. And then apart from this, if there is no tangible result, then we may stay here in 10 years in the temple and eventually we think that, oh, this is not up for ours, you know. Because we don't know that by only coming to the temple we are elevated. By staying in the temple we are elevated. We don't have any idea, you know. And there is nice verse, Srila Prabhupada always quotes, you know, that how by darshan only we can be elevated. Or how can it, by remembering the Lord we are elevated. And then two lines, nice, you know. Darshan dhyana samsparshe matsya kurma vihangama swanya patne pushnante swanya patyane tathacham padmaja. Beautiful these two lines, you know. He says in the first line that darshan dhyana samsparshe kurma matsya vihangama. Darshan means by just seeing. Dhyana means by meditating. Darshan, dhyana, samsparshair, by touching. Matsya, kurma and vihangamaha. The fish, tortoise and birds. Swanyapatyani pushmanti. They hatch their eggs. And they can get their young ones out of the eggs. And the same way, I also help you, Brahma. Krishna himself says this verse. He says, darshan, by darshan, darshan by only seeing, this fish lays eggs. And she just sees the eggs from far, and the eggs are hatched, and she gets the young fishes out in time, just by darshan. If this is happening in the material world, it is much more finer and much more serious in the spiritual realm. But this is a material thing. The fish only sees the eggs, and the young ones come out in time. By seeing their haste. The same way, if you continuously see the Lord, you acquire the qualities of the Lord. These families, they come here, sit for a while, for 5 minutes, it doesn't matter. But as soon as they come to see, their life is completely affected by it. And that's why, they may not have time to sit, but at least their piety is there to come to the temple. That is how by only seeing the Lord, we are helped. And then he says, by meditation, dhyana, kurma, tortoise. Tortoise lays eggs on the land and tortoise goes in the water. And he only meditates on the eggs. Only by meditation the eggs, he gets the young ones. The eggs are hatched. And samsparshe, by touching, the birds, they sit on the eggs and they hatch the eggs. And in time, they get the young ones. This is how these fish, tortoise and birds, there are three ways they get their young ones. One by only seeing, the other one by only meditating, and the third one by touching. This is the example of the material things. So it's much more true in the spiritual matters also. That by only meditating, you can get the same benefit. By only seeing, you can get the benefit. By touching also. Each time you touch Bhagavad Gita, you are completely purified. Forget about reading. You know, there is the famous story that there was one blind man and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was passing from there and he had the Bhagavad Gita open on his lap and he was crying. So Mahaprabhu went near him. He said, why are you crying? He said, oh, how nice Lord has written, you know. So he said, but you don't see. Oh, Jay, you don't see. You don't see anything. How do you know that? No, he said, I can feel. You know, this is the correct thing. Even if you don't read, even then. There was one man in London, you know, and I remember very clearly that we had been to his house and he was in trouble, you know, like, and he was suffering from diabetes. And it is a funny thing how he suffered from diabetes also. What happened that
he married 2-3 times, and the wives left him, and 3 wives sued him together for maintenance. Now this one was working somewhere, and he was getting 100 pounds per week or something. So after deducting all the maintenances, he had to pay 25 pounds to the factory where he was working. So he thought that what's the use of working with him? Salary goes and I have to pay $25 again. So he left the job, and then he started getting the dole money and association credit. So then he knew that if he is suffering from diabetes, he can get a good money, much more increased allowance. So he went to his doctor and he said, "Doctor, I'm suffering from diabetes." So his family doctor said, "No, he checked everything, you know." And he says, "With all due regard, you are not suffering from diabetes." "No, doctor, I am suffering from diabetes." But he wanted to have the certificate somehow or the other to produce the social security. So doctor said, no, ma'am, you are not suffering from that." "No, doctor, I am telling you I am suffering." So the doctor was fed up. He said, "All right, you are suffering. So give me medicine," he said, "give me certificate." So doctor wrote the certificate, "Give me medicine." So he went with the certificate to the social security office and he started getting good money, you know. And money was coming, and every week he had to take the medicine to the social security office, show the medicine, and then prove that he is really suffering, so then they will continue the money. So this went on for 6 months nearly. His whole cupboard was full of diabetic medicines. So it so happened that slowly he said, "What happened, let me see." So he started taking tablets and this and that, and really he was suffering by the medicine, forced medicine. And he was dying in trouble, you know, every day he had to take injection and then immediately prepare the food, eat, again take injection, again prepare food. And he was dying in trouble. Then we gave him one volume, Srimad Bhagavatam. And we told him, "Hey, please read this Bhagavatam, and this is the best medicine for you." And then after 3 months, we visited again. And he was really much better than what he was suffering, you know. So this is the effect of these scriptures. We don't have faith. As soon as you have faith in the words of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, then nothing can stop you. This is, in short, we have to understand. And somehow or the other, we have to organize some things wherein we can develop the real love, spontaneous love for God. Now these people, few people were already here. They could have waited for half an hour or so, but they might be staying very far, or maybe tomorrow they are going working or this and that. So they might have left. But we should have a spontaneous love for Krishna conscious activities. Otherwise it goes very difficult. And there is a beautiful verse, you know, sung by gopis in 10th canto. You understand, that is gopi bhava. Gopi bhava doesn't mean that we go to Vrindavan and put on saris and hug the trees. No, it's nothing like that. But we have to develop the unflinching faith in the Lord, and continuously you have to perform the devotional service. That is the meaning of this verse. In this beautiful verse, "Atati yad bhavan ahanikananam truti yugayate tvam apashyatam kutila kuntalam sri mukham chate jadav dikshatam pakshmakrit drusham." It's beautiful, you know. Gopis say to Krishna, "Atati yad bhavan ahanikananam," means atati means you wander. During the day, as soon as the day dawns, you go behind your cows and you all wander everywhere. "Atati yad bhavan ahanikananam," during the day you go in the jungle to graze the cows, and that's why we don't see you. So when we don't see you, what is our condition? They describe very nicely that truti yugayate tvam apashyatam. Truti means fraction of a second. As Srila Prabhupada translates six, that you divide second into 1700 parts, and one part is tukit, truti. Very small fraction of a second. But we think that it is long, like a millennium, yugayate. Truti Yugayate. And why? Tvam Tapashyatam. Because we don't see you, our small time, fraction of a second, also become long like Yuga. And many times we feel these things, you know. If we like somebody, then without him or her, we cannot pass the time. And even a day becomes very long. You know? So this is how gopis say. And then they say that Kutila Kuntalam Sri Mukham Chate. In the evening, when you come back, you have a nice Kutila Kuntalam, you know, nice curly hair, black hair. And all those black hair, they are covered by dust coming out of the hoofs of the cows. And your face is also a bit dirty, but it appears very nice. And we want to see it continuously. But then they curse the Brahma who has made this body. The Brahma has created eyelids on our eyes. And because of eyelids, we have to blink our eyes. And again, till that time, we don't see you. So this is what Gopi Bhav means. That if you want to create a spontaneous love like gopis, then 24 hours a day, all the time, you have to get engrossed in the scriptures and the temple activities. And then only there will be a spontaneous love. Otherwise, more than half the existence, maybe 99% of our existence, is completely dragged into the material activities. And then maybe 1%, we may come to Krishna hesitatingly, and again they run back to the material life. And this happens because we identify ourselves with the bodies, families, countries, etc. And that is the result, that we lose our human existence, and then not really when we are going to get this human existence again. So it's better to utilize it seriously. Hare Krishna. All gracious Prabhupada ki. This body we cannot take with us at the time of death. You know, when we leave the body. And subtle body is always with us till we really purify it by our continuous devotional service. So subtle body is more important than the gross body. Your point is very correct. And then unless we purify, and subtle body means mind, intelligence and false ego. Now we have to purify our mind. So Brahma has shown us the way. Brahma, our creator, you know. And he shows in Brahma Sanhita nice way how to purify the subtle existence of the mind. And see, the process is like this. Pramanaihi tat sadacharaihi tat abhyasaihi nirantaram bodhayan atmana atmanam bhaktim api uttamam labet. He says, bhaktim api uttamam labet is our destination. That we have to attain the pure love of God, devotional activities. We must like devotional activities, otherwise you will not follow the devotional activities. Now this is our aim of our existence. Then how to attain it? Pramanaihi is the first instruction by Brahma. Pramanaihi means there must be scriptural evidence. And therein Prabhupada very lovingly gives us these scriptural evidences. If you go through Bhagavad Gita very seriously, or any small book, or Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Upanishads, so Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, so many books are there. Any one book you study and you find out the evidences. And then he says, Sad Acharahi, then you have to put into practice. This is the main thing. Once you do this, that is also not enough. Pramanahi tad sadacharahi tad abhyasahi nirantaram. Again and again, again and again, you have to habituate yourself to practice the instructions. Then question comes before us that we have to perform the material activities also. So our mind is dragged back from the spontaneous devotional activities or studies to the material responsibilities. Then he has shown the way that you should organize your material life in such a way that you will always remember the Lord. And it is everybody's question, because we are all differently situated in our material situations. But one thing we have to understand, that whichever situations we are in, Somebody is engineer, somebody is doctor, somebody is businessman, somebody work, laborer, or whoever they may be, or maybe a housewife, or something else, doesn't matter at all. For everybody, the devotional activities are common. That shows that devotional activity doesn't depend upon any condition, that you must be like this, and then only you can perform the devotional service. No, you can see in India, there are thousands and thousands of families. They perform all different types of activities. But everybody crowds in the temple. There is no condition for the devotional service. And this we forget. And that's why it's difficult for us, very, very difficult to come to the devotional side of our existence. If you can understand this point, then abhyasaya nirantara, through your activities, you can be elevated. Suppose you are looking after the children. You look after them as if they are the form of Krishna. They are. They are young Krishnas, you know. So you are doing something for Krishna. That is your devotion. And through them also, you can be elevated. Or you may be engineer, you may be doctor. If you are a doctor, you are serving your patients. Take them that they are the forms of Krishna and they are there. Don't cheat. Try to take care of them very nicely. That is through your doctor's service, you can be elevated. You may be a laborer working for building something, then you do your activities very nicely and you will be elevated. The people know very well that if the man is a godly man or a woman is a godly woman, then they can depend upon them. These ordinary people also know that, oh, we can depend upon him because he is very, very careful regarding his job. And this is the secret of our devotional success. We don't ignore our material activities, but we become expert in material activities. And that is an art. Krishna helps us to become expert in our material responsibilities. And then what happens? That within no time, we expertly arrange our material life. And then we are completely free for the devotional activities. Krishna is very merciful. When he sees that you are sincere for the devotional service, he will give you time and Lakshmi and everything, and nice work and everything, because people will trust you. But everybody wants their work to be done. And those who do the work, they know that the godly persons are very serious. They are not attracted to this or that. And this is how our work also, our material responsibilities also, become helpful to us to increase the devotional activities. It's only through ignorance somebody may believe that material activity is an impediment, and they may completely stop and come to the devotional activity. And then we have so many examples that they are not successful in the devotional activities also. In the temples also we are seeing all over America and all over the world. Those who are working outside, they are very serious devotees. But they know that their material things that they have to arrange, they are not neglecting their responsibilities. At the same time, they are doing their devotional activities also. And this is how Brahma then in the second line says, then even these three things are not enough. That is, scriptural evidence, then Pramanahita Sadachari, put into practice, and Abhyasai practice again and again. Then what happens? That again your mind will be victimized by the attractions. Then what is to be done? Brahma gives very nice instruction. And he says, Pramanahi tad sadacharahi tad abhyasahi nirantaram bodhayan. Then you instruct your mind. How? Atmana, by your intelligence. Atmanam, to your own self. You always continuously instruct your mind.